before we get back into the main swing of things in terms of the bracha shechiyonu and mitzvahs, so I'm at that point where we speak about many times, it's hard to control myself. You know, you read this Balamor, and you just realize there's like a world in this Balamor, and you, especially in Yonah Diyayma, Sfira, it's close to Shavuos, how could you not talk about this Balamor a little bit more? So we're going to have to just take a little bit of break from Shechiyonah for a little bit. Please, everyone should be, I ask for humbles mechila, but just bear with me for this Balamor. I can't hold back. You have to just understand that. So the Balamor, when he's presenting his whole theory about Sfira being only mitzvah derabbanon, it's only zech lamikdash, and of course that solves his dilemma about Shechiyonu. But the emphasis is that the Balamor needed to fall back on Sfira being the Rabbanan for a host of other reasons. Because the Balamor threw out you a whole array of kashas about the way we perform the mitzvah Sfira Sarabiz Manazer, that ultimately the Balamor in the end falls back on Sfira being the Rabbanan, and by doing so really solves a whole series of different complications. So one of the issues that the Balamor is troubled with is that the practice that we have in Chutz Loretz, where we count Sfiras HaOmer, seems not to be in sync with the way we usually observe Sveik HaDiyayma. We observe Sveik HaDiyayma for all the Yom Tovim, Hein Mitam Yisur Malacha, Hein Mitam Mitzvah Sayon. We refrain from Malacha on Yom Tov Sheni, we eat Matzah on Yom Tov Sheni, Elijah's Ben Shlecht on Yom Tov Sheni, we say Hal Yom Tov Sheni. So for all the Dini HaTeiru, we observe Yom Tov Sheni. And how come, when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, so somehow Yom Tov Sheni got lost in the shuffle? What the proper practice should have been was, we should have begun Sfiras HaOmer on the second night of Pesach, but since in the back of my mind we're worried that the second night of Pesach really is the first night of Pesach, all right, we're making a Seder, and when Chutz starts, what we call the first night of Chol HaMoed, we should begin a second count. And every subsequent day until Shavuos, we should count 2 days, we Sveik HaDiyayma. Why don't we do that? That's the Balamor's question. That's the challenge of Balamor saying. So the Balamor concludes, strangely enough, that if Sfiras HaOmer was a real din, was a real chi of Gomor, we really would have no choice. The same way we have to be machmir on both ends and eat matzah 2 days. So we would have no choice. We would have to observe Sfiras HaOmer for 2 days as well. Every day of Sfira would have to have that double count to it. Elowat says the Balamor, if you're going to do that, you're going to end off in a very, very uncomfortable position. Because to be consistent, when it comes to Mitzvah Shem, the first night of Shavuos, according to the first count, which just happens to be the Deraistic account, because we all know that the first day of Pesach is the real day of Pesach. The Zman is there for sure, that's true. It's laced on the poly, because if we have a Kvias Luch, we have a calendar set up. So whatever the calendar is based on, whether it's based on the Kiddush of Hil HaSheni, it's based on the Kiddush of Klaus, whatever the lumbus is, the bottom line is, the calendar is what's Kaveh B'Zman HaZeh. So according to the Rambam, it's Allah HaMashi B'Sinai, according to the Rambam, it's the Din of Kiddush HaChodesh, whatever the lumbus of how that happened, all of a sudden, that hocus pocus, we turn the world into a calendar, instead of having Edom coming, L'mais, it works Minat Torah, and all the Yom Tovim are binding Minat Torah, and we know exactly what Chodesh Nisan was. So why do we observe Sfeik HaDiyayma for? So the Gemara said the very in the beginning of Beitzah that it's only Midrabbanim is Banazay Zab and Minigab Sechem. Even what that means is not clear. Machlokes Tais in the Ran. What exactly the parameters of that Hanhaga of Yom Tov Sheni Bizmanazeh is? So there's no question that Yom Tov Sheni Bizmanazeh is not on par with the Yom Tov Sheni of old. Yom Tov Sheni in the Friyat Degaderis was a Sofek. Off the record, it may not have even been a Sofek then. Probably the robe was in your favor then anyway, but I'll leave it up for now. But it was significantly more of a problem back in the old days. That's why every once in a while you find somebody who comes up with this like unbelievable idea. Wow. Gee, I remember I was once in shul. Not in my shul. I was once in a shul. And I heard two balabatim talking. And one said to the other, you know, this whole Yom Tov Sheni thing really doesn't make any sense. We have a calendar now. You know what? Really, we should tell the rabbi that this is, like, how come nobody caught on to this yet? Chazal quote on to this 1700 years ago. The Gemara asked the same question. Why we kriya the sheni? So it was a good kasha. And the Gemara says they sent the shalat to Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis in Eretz Yisrael responded back. Whatever they responded back, whatever the reason was, that Chazal continued under Sheni. So the rabbis also thought of this. It wasn't like someone in, you know, in Teaneck figured this out in 2015. So it was thought up well time ago. Anyway, so they say, so we observe Yonta Sheni, but we know in our heart of hearts it's only Midrabban. And therefore, we have to be very, very careful, says the Balamor, not to use Yonta Sheni as a vehicle to be Pegeya in the real Yonta of Deraisa. And what's going to happen if you're going to count Svirsa Omer through the second count, every day is going to be one day behind Yisafek, when you're going to come into Shem to next Sunday night, and you're going to be celebrating Shavuos, can you imagine the following? What a letdown. You get to Zvamat Teresenu, and the rabbis got to be singing Avinu Avraham on, and we're all ready to roll around. Everyone's getting ready to go home and eat their suit and come back to learn the whole night and everything. And by the way, right before davening's over, what do? Hayom Yisafek, it's 49th day of the Svira. Maybe it's seven. Oh, come on. What a bizyanis to Yonta Sheni. I'm sorry, what a bizyanis to Yonta Frisha, bizyanis to Shavuos. So says the Malamor, because of the quirk of the mitzvah of Svira, that Svira Sa'oime, if it's going to be observed on Yonta Sheni, will potentially be used to be pegay under cover of Yonta Deraisa of Shavuos. Therefore, Bechel Gabna Lo Tiknu. Chazal never, if it would have been a real Safek, you have a lace brayer, what do? You got to count. You got to count. We have no choice. It's Safek Deraisa. But since it's only Drabon anyway, Bisman is, so therefore, no, not the end of the world. As I state in Heligah Balamor, I heard the Balamor know this idea. Where did he get this concept from? That we don't ever want to use Yonta Sheni at the expense of Kedusha, at the expense of Kavir Yonta Risha. Where did he get it from? You got it right out of what Gemara?
Minitas.
Got it right out of Minitas. Right out of the Gemara in the end of Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says the Chazal had a big, big problem. A huge problem when it came to the Sveika Diyam of Hashanah Rabbah. Hashanah Rabbah was the last day of Sukkah's Minotaur. Sukkah Station was Yom. So the Chor, you live in Chutz Loretz, Misafik, you have to eat in the Sukkah on the next day, Misafik Adiyam. The same way you didn't do Malacha on the second day, because maybe it was the first day. So you have to observe tomorrow as being the Safik of the seventh day. That's the simple math. So Gemara says, great, so we'll sit in the Sukkah. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's the Chachmini Ateris. So usually when you have a Yontif Sheni, so what's the big deal? So you tag on another day, a second day Shavuos. What's the big deal? So we'll take away from Tuesday. Okay, big deal. So Achmed Shur Pesach, Simchas Torah, big deal. So you have another day to party, another day to dance, another day to sing, big deal. Another day not to go to work. What's the big deal? But here it's a funny thing, because on Sukkot, the Sveika Diyam of Sukkot is going to impinge upon the Deraisa Dikadeh Shmini Atzeres. So it's going to look very, very strange if you're going to make Kiddush on Shmini Atzeres, and then you're going to sit in the Sukkah. It's a steer, it's a bizyainis, it's a zilzil to the embassy yontif of Shmini Atzeres. Chazal didn't want to do that. So Chazal knocked their heads against the wall to try to figure out, how can you come up with an Eitzah? How can you come up with the suggestion to somehow have your cake and eat it in the Sukkah? So comes the Gemara and concludes, after much deliberation, we can let you sit in the Sukkah. As the Tosfos explains in Sukkah, sitting in the Sukkah per se is not a stira guliyah to Shmini Atzeres. Why? It's a nice day outside. Sometimes it's nice. Let's say Lamasha, if you come to our shul on Shavuos night, so we hope we're going to have all the eating outdoors. The shul will be indoors, and we'll have the eating will be outdoors. So we'll have a nice little tent set up. It'll be very nice. We'll have a little, a COVID-friendly, in-between shulim eating. People sometimes eat, even at normal times, not with COVID. People sometimes eat outside. Sometimes you get a nice Shabbos meal. We'll sit on the back porch if it's nice, beautiful outside. So I remember we had one Shabbos. It was Shabbos Shuva. Remember, it was Shabbos Shuva. So we had four members of our family. So it was my wife, myself, Amzev, and Blibo home. Three of the four of us were in quarantine, each one for a different reason. Each one had been a kabbalah point for a different. So we were on different cheshbonos. So we couldn't even be together. It's like, say, the Gemara says, an androgynous could be mitzvah an androgynous, but a tumtum could be mitzvah a tumtum, because you don't know who's coming, who's going. So Baruch Hashem, we have two decks in our backyard. So remember, this was on our Shabbos building. I was sitting over here. Zev was like 40 feet away. We was down there. We had mamish. Everyone's eating in the entire Baruch Hashem. We have a good big backyard. We need extra room. It's got a Rothenberg backyard, so we're able to have our Suddhas Shabbos together. Remember, by the time the first night of Sukkot, we were still in quarantine. So then, but then it was already almost like, according to some Rishon, it was already in Mitzvah Sayyam Kulu on the last night. According to Ramban, it was already Lailas, Mitzvah Sayyam Kulu. Quarantine ended that next morning. So I was makil that I wasn't knowing my quarantine already. So we only had to have, we didn't have enough room in the Sukkah. We only had, also was the four of us. So the Sukkah, we managed to have himself. I'm sitting on one. He was Rosh of Ruben Besukha Veshulchan Chutz LaSukha. He was over here. The Blima was on top of the Schach over there. And my wife, I think we were already, Isha Kagufa was already at that by that point. So sometimes people eat outside, even if it's not Yom Tov. So it's just a nice, beautiful place to eat. So getting back to the story. Tosis writes, to sit in the Sukkah is not a shter to Shmini Atzeres per se. But to make a bracha, you can make a leisha basukah. Everyone's going to laugh at you. You just said it's yom, ashmini chagatzeres, as once. Oh, by the way, shekin shom leisha basukah. I'm just a joke. That's bizarre. That's going to be the bizarreness. That's why Taisus writes in Sukkah, that's why Chazal didn't institute Matilas Lulav on Shmini Atzeres, because to explain away sitting in the Sukkah on a nice warm day outside, that's a habatzar. To explain away shaking a branch, a lula branch, on a Shmini Atzeres, that's already much harder to do. So that we can't explain. That's a zilzal. So you see from the Gemara in the end of the Sukkah that Chazal will walk a tightrope when they instituted Yom Tov Sheni, they always had in mind, don't do it at the expense of Yom Tov Rishon.
If it's not a nice day out, you can't.
Oh, so that's the Shaila. So the Shaila is that Takana, when Chazal formulated the Takana, Mesi Mesim Ruchim and Vrachinam. So what's Pshad in that Takana was? The Pshad in the Takana was Chazal assessed the fact that usually it's pretty nice that time of year. So therefore, we're going to be Mesake, Mesi Mesim Ruchim and Vrachinam. Once Chazal was Mesake mid the Rabbanim, there's a mitzvah Shiva Besukkah. So then you have to go with the regular column of Mitzvah. If it's about freezing cold, it's raining or something, then it's the last part of the Besukkah. So no worse than a Deraisa. But Kozman, you don't reach that Darga of Mitzvah of the Besukkah, even though the particular reason that Chazal were able to create the Takana may not apply in the here and now. But Kachtik the Chachamim, but Leisber, what are you going to do? What do I say now? You have to judge case by case. You have to take a look and see every single case and see. Does the Chazal only let you sit in the Sukkah, so to speak, if it's nice outside? And if you can't explain with a straight face what you're doing, so then it wouldn't be included in the Heter, and then it would be the Chlal. But Chazal couldn't have made the Takon, and therefore they had to drop the Takon. So that's a Shaila. So that Tzad, that Chakira, is probably the background for the custom, with Minik, for the custom that people have, some communities had, not even the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. Where did that come from? It's a shunadik thing. Not even the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. The Gemara. It's a Gemara. It says in the Gemara, it says in Shukroch. Where did it come from? So the Torah already quotes that there were some people who weren't sitting in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So, and all the Mishnah said, they don't know where it comes from, what's it based on? So there are different suggestions that have been given. So the Yerach HaShulchan writes that he thinks that the emes alibitz chos on those communities in Klal Yisrael who don't even sukkah shmini atzeres, he thinks the libitz chos is that they hold like this taisus, and they hold like zach pshat taisus that by man devar mamurim the chazal were able to say with a straight face meisiv yasvin buchlam brachinan, as Taisus explains, because it's not a steve, it's not a zilzol. That's if you live in Babylonia, you live in Iraq, and it's pretty warm in Iraq, in Baghdad. So most of the time in Baghdad, it was feasible to eat in the sukkah. You know, it didn't look like such a stira. We live in the Varduk, and we're in the Varduk. The Varduk is up in Lithuania. It's 10 below zero already, sukkah time. So you're going to say, sukkasa arevala, people are taking nice little, eating outside the sukkah. Come on, it's a joke. You see a guy go down the sukkah in the middle of a snowstorm, means you realize he's going out for the mitzvah. Oh, wait a second, you go out for a mitzvah, that's a stira. That's a stira. Tishmini Atzeres, I want to do that. So that was the Yerach HaShulchan's limitz chos on the Minhag HaElul. Yerach HaShulchan at the end writes, he doesn't think you should rely on that. You know, the Rishon didn't seem to accept that idea, but Afa Bichei thinks maybe that's what it's based on. Ken Zayin, that would be the limitz chos. So the emes is that even within those communities that don't, even within those who follow it, says the Gemara and the Rishon and Shulchan Aruch, that we do sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, like Kedas Uchadin. We've almost borrowed that idea slightly in the following sense. There was a machlekes of Rishonim about should one sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So at first glance, yeah. So have to sleep in the Sukkot Sukkot, that's like the era, so of course you have to sleep in the Sukkot Shmini Atzeres. So the Rishonim already quote, this already appears in the Rishonim. So Rishonim say, no, you don't have to sleep in the Sukkot Shmini Atzeres. Why? What's the difference? So some Rishonim explain that B'med Devam Amorim, that you eat in the Sukkot on Shmini Atzeres, that's because Sukkot Sarivalo. Sometimes people, it's a nice day, eat outside. Most people, in the middle of October, no one's sleeping on the backyard. I mean, come on. No one's camping out in Bergenfield. So if you see a guy taking a sleeping bag and going out to the Sukkot, you know he's doing it L'Shem Mitzvah. There's no other way to explain it. Ooh, he's definitely doing it. It's near L'Ayin. He's doing L'Shem Mitzvah. That's a no-no. That's a red flag. That's a zilzul in Shmini Atzeres. Therefore, don't do it. So there was some Rishonim who explained that Mitchilas HaTakana was not to sleep in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Another Rishonim said, what are you talking about? So, means yeshiva. Yeshiva means achil and shein, and finish. So even those who are not willing to go as far as the chassidish minhag, not eating in the sukkah and shmini atzeres, the gamre, that far we don't want to go. We don't want to start dividing between America and Baghdad and Egypt and Ukraine and Lithuania. That far the takana was across the board, but it could be the ikka takana was, the etzba takana was only in Yonim that are shayach to explain away. Things that are not shayach to explain away, you can't explain away, you're not allowed to do it. So there may be another reason, Lagamre, why there are some who don't sleep in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. Even within those who are very machbit to follow the initial chotin in the Sukkah, they split when it comes to sleeping. What's the split? A difference for Lagamre. This is a throwback to, we spoke about this in the past, about the bracha on sleeping in the Sukkah. When did we talk about this? At the bracha, we didn't talk about the bracha sukkah in the sukkah yet.
Yeah,
but when did we talk about this?
Over the last
but by one of the over the last, right? So we mentioned that there was a big machlekes of Rishonim about it's coming up again. There's a big machlekes of Rishonim about whether you make a bracha. We spoke barichas about it, just for touch on. I don't remember. Rabbi Tam and the other Bishayim about when you make a bracha sleeping in the sukkah. I don't think we told. I think it's coming up in the Zion Rebbe a little bit further down.
We spoke about this.
What?
We spoke about this.
Making Malaysia before you eat. Before sitting in the sukkah.
Yeah, we mentioned. We talked about it recently, right?
Yeah.
I think we talked about it recently. Okay, fine. So there's a big machlokes to Bishayim. Whether you make a bracha when sleeping in the sukkah. What's it? You make a bracha stam, you go into the sukkah to sleep, but you make a bracha now. So there were basically three shittas in Mishnah about this. So there were some Mishnah who said that yeah, of course you do. So it's the right, so you make a bracha. There were other Mishnah who said, no, you can't. Why? Because you're afraid you're not going to fall asleep. It's like the woman's going to walk away from the chuppah, right? We spoke about that mashal, right? And then there was Rabbeinu Tam who said that you don't really have to make a bracha on Shayna because the Shayna was subsumed under the Achila, right? The takana was to make a bracha on the Ika Yeshiva and the Shayna is betela to the Achila. So Lemaisa, that view of not making a bracha on Shayna has kind of become the prevalent view in our communities. And even the Muhammad calls it Lemaisa, that's become our minig. That the guy goes to sleep, you don't really make a bracha, you don't associate sleeping with him making a bracha. So there was someone who wanted to argue that the Gemara says in Pesukah, Hilchas HaMeisav Yasvinim Bruchlam V'Rachinan, it's like one long sentence. Meisav Yasvinim Bruchlam V'Rachinan. It's not two statements. It's not saying, sit in the Sukkah, number one, and then rule number two is don't make a bracha. Because you're not making a bracha, that's what's matter you need in the Sukkah. It's the same as Tosfos was bothered with the Kash. Tosfos said, how can you sit in the Sukkah to Chazilzul for Shmini Atzeres? So the answer is, Chazal answered that kasha. Taisus answered the kasha by saying because it's warm outside. No, according to other Rishonim, Chazal answered the kasha. Meisav Yasvinan, Baruch Lev Vachinim, from the fact that we're not Mevarech, that goof is Megala, that's not really Betaris Mitzvah Lagam. That goof serves as a hecker that it shouldn't be a Zilzul. So some wanted to argue, when it comes to Shayna, if we follow the many Rabbeinu Tam and the Baal Yatais, that we don't make a bracha on Shayna, ever, even on Sukkot. So where's the Baruch Lam Vachin and Shmini Atzeres? There's no Hekka, there's nothing different than Shmini Atzeres. It's the Manishtan and Shmini Atzeres from the rest of Sukkot. So walking into the Sukkah and going to sleep at Shmini Atzeres without making a bracha doesn't have that built-in safeguard of the Hekka. And since there's no built-in safeguard of the heker, so you have no right to do it. But it's also, the starting point is, it's also to be in the sukkah shmiyatzeres, unless you can prove that you're not doing the b'taras mitzvah. So bisman achila, when the safeguard is, the matir is not making the bracha, that's good. But b'shashenu, when there is no matir, there is no heker, so then you can't. So those are the two different reasons that different places can point out to be malami tzchus for those who eat in the sukkah shmiyatzeres and don't sleep in the sukkah shmiyatzeres. So you have four possibilities. You have those who follow that the Hasidic practice, which again was quoted by Rishonim and rejected by most of the Rishonim, that the whole din doesn't apply. If you live in cold places, the whole din doesn't apply. That's one mahalach. The other mahalach is, it's just the chodov of Midi Rabbanon, that's it. Meisav Yasfin and Gemaru. Echi l'shein, I finish the Gemaru. That was the Shittas Agra, many Gedal Rishon, the Rashba, the Gedal Rishon, that's a simple pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. Then you have these two middle grounds are saying that lagavi achila yeah, alagavi shein anisht, for one of two reasons. Either because, and they're both based on the same idea, that somehow sheina falls short of serving as a heker. Either because it's too cold for people to know, nobody really sleeps outside as man as that, even if you do eat outside, but nobody sleeps outside, or because you're lacking that safeguard of the bracha. So the two nuances are for the same idea, albeit highlighted in different parts. The Chapsin of Kamidi, the Mishabur writes the Chapsin of Kamidi between those two reasons. Let's say a guy wants to eat an apple in the Sukkah and Shmiyat Teres. He wanted to eat an apple. So according to the first approach, I could sometimes go outside and eat an apple, munch an apple in my backyard, that's okay, so it doesn't look bad. But according to the second approach, the only matter to go into the Sukkah and Shmiyat Teres is the fact that you're getting up, hitting the Mishabur, and not making a bracha. I would never make a bracha on an apple, even the whole week of Sukkah, so how does not making a bracha Shmiyat Teres after that? So the Mishabur quotes that as an afkamin. According to some achronim, it's awesome to eat an apple in the Sukkah. You have to, if you just someone going for a little snack in the afternoon, you dafka, unless it's mezayin, it's not something that would normally warrant a bracha, you dafka not allowed on. Mishabur is not so convinced that we should follow that. The Mishabur writes that when it comes to sleeping in the Sukkah Shmiyat Teres, he writes that the minhag olam is lahakel. So it's interesting because the Ramah wrote about sleeping in the Sukkah on Sukkot. The Rambam writes, only the Medaktikim were Medaktik. The Oila Hamon Am in Europe wasn't even sleeping in the Sukkah because it was too cold, or the husbands and wives couldn't sleep together. Different reasons that are given. So the only people that were even sleeping in the Sukkah were the Medaktikim, and even they were Nogel Hakel. That was the Oilam. Usually when the Mishnah says Oilam Nogel Hakel, so you have to think, who's the Oilam? Oh, all the Amratzim, all the people we don't want to be like. No, he has the big Yechidei Skula, the 1 in 100 people who were sleeping in the Sukkah and Sukkot, even they won't make the Shmiyat Teres. So almost nobody today sleeps in the Sukkah Shmiyat Teres. A few people, a few Gronics, a few real Tamir HaGura, they still sleep in the Sukkah Shmiyat Teres. Most people. Okay. What are we talking about this for? Yeah, back to the Balamor. This is still the digression of the digression. So you see from that Gemara, says the Balamor, that we have to be very, very careful when we observe Yontif Sheini, not to pegay in the covet of Yontif Risha. That's part of the reason why the Mishtabura has a tine against the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram writes that when you're on Yontif Rishon, late in the afternoon, the Magen Avram says you shouldn't really sit down and have a meal. Let's say first day Yontif, first day Shavuos, the guy wants to sit down at 5 o'clock and have a Zah Su'udah, Kiyat HaMelech. So the Magen Avram says it's not right, because then you're going to come to Yontif Sheini and you're not going to be hungry. So it's not right. The same way the Mishnah says, Arab Sachem, Lo Yochel, Samach Lo Mincha, even though we pass in Mikra Din. It's not true for Shabbos and Yadav, but Lechachila, it is true. So the same way we wouldn't sit down an hour before Shabbos and have a big meal, an hour before you have a big meal. You shouldn't sit down and have a big meal an hour before you have the Sheini. And the Mishabur says he doesn't know what the source of that is. He says, where do we find the Chazal instituted? You should ruin your Yontif Rishon to protect Yontif Sheini. Here, a guy wants to have a big meal, 5 o'clock. A guy wants to have a party at 7 o'clock on the first day of Yontif. What's the problem? Because to protect Yontif Sheini, he says, that you impact the Yontif Rishon to protect Yontif Sheini. So it says, Kain, that same idea, that tine of the Mishnah Berurah against the Magen Avraham. Paschal's like that, but that kasha. So getting back to the story, so the Balamor says, because of this whole Balagan, our hands are tied, and we cannot count a double Svira, because doing so is going to force us to count on the night of Shavuos. Today is the 49th day, which is impossibility. So therefore, if you're not going to count on the night of Shavuos, then the whole second count is going to be Botel Mavuto. So don't even get started. Just follow the Din Deraisa. So the only reason why the Balamor was able to present this whole thing is because the whole Svira is what it says. It's only Derabon, it's only a Sfik in the Yom. It's a Chumar V'Yom. It's not even a real Sfik anymore. So this, and the Zeich Lamikdash, the whole mitzvah spheres of the Rabbanim, the Rabbanim, the Rabbanim. So therefore, b'chei gavna lo tiknu. Not to have a zilzul on the yad of derais. That was the balma. So everybody said, before we go back to our sugya, this is all the introduction to the one nekuda in the balma I wanted to extract. What do you see from the Balamor? That if not for all these technicalities, all these glitches, it would have been conceivable to count 2 days of Sfira. I mean, one could have conceived of a guy getting up and counting his fake Diyom and Sfira. And the Balamor sounds like this Maha Mikdash they really did. You have Jews who were far away, really didn't know when Yom Tov was. So when Sfira was there, I said, you know, you had to count. That was fake Diyom. You had to count fake Diyom. And that's okay. Why is that so startling? Like, okay, that makes sense. Why is that startling? What? Because this is the Dvar Avram. This was the Dvar Avram's back out from the Shita. We spoke about this last year, right? So Dvar Avram had a famous Chiddush Nerv Ayim, and later he backed down from. What was his Chiddush Nerv Ayim? It was based on last week's parsha. The Gemara says it's actually a Mishnah at the end of Becheres, but most people know from Bavmitzia Davav. When the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, the Enemus of Becheres, that says that when a person is counting off his animals from Maisa Behema, so he counts 1 out of 10 gets the carbon, 1 out of 10 the carbon. So he counted already 517 behemoths, and they already went through. And he's got another 3,000 behemoths left inside the deer, right? Inside the corral, whatever it's called. And one of the animals that have already passed, all the animals that already were counted are potter now. So you can't put them back inside and count them again. That's not teifus, it's not nitfus, they're already ptur. It's like once your mafresh shumas and maizas from something, so it's not tevel anymore, so it's not chal anymore. So you got 573 animals that are already potter, 10,000 animals are still five. So one of the animals that already went through a few minutes ago, it's missing its friend inside. And the cowboy, the shepherd, remember, they fell asleep. And that kofetz echlev menuyin, one of the animals that was already counted, jumps back over the fence, back into the other, into the non-yet exempted group. And again, maybe one sheep can tell another sheep from another. I couldn't tell one sheep from another. So I got 5,000 sheep here. 5,000 sheep are chayiv and one is potter, and I have absolutely no idea of knowing which is which. So now I'm going to have a huge problem. Because if I'm going to continue to count my sebehemas now, I never know whether I'm really chayv my sebehem. Any count of 10 that I do may have that one in there that's going to throw off the entire count. It's impossible. What do you do? So Gemara says, forget about just kulam p'turim. That one animal that jumped out just popped us off all the behemoths that are left inside, millions of animals left inside, kulam p'turim. Why? Who remembers why? Oh, when you got to this, I had the Aliyah of Chazak this week. So I had the Aliyah of Hasiri Yakadosh Lashem. So I started to tear. I got to that phrase, Hasiri Yakadosh Lashem. So the Gemara in Bamatziya Davav, we must have spent weeks here learning this. When we learned Bamatziya Davav, we spent a lot of time in this subject. Hasiri Yakadosh Lashem, Zav Tayshiva Peh, Hasiri Vandiv, Hasiri Safik. That the only time there's a mitzvah, my sebeim is only if it's Vandai the 10th. I can say with a straight face, Das is Chayiv, my sebeim. If I can't say that with absolute certainty, so it's potter. The whole thing is potter. Kulam p'tur, finished. So come to Shita Mekubetzes in Bav Metzia and ask the most famous kasha. Who remembers the kasha? We talked about it last year. Shita Mekubetzes kasha. What do you mean it's a suffix? Rive! It's the chrive. The odds are that it's probably going to be the right one. I mean, there are 5,000 chayiv and there's one potter. What are the odds that the potter is going to be one to mess up your count? Keep on counting. And if Achiram Nahatas, you never arrive. So Zav Tashim Kubetzis in the name of the Taisa Rosh. Even though there's a sugi of Rov in Halacha, Midei Sveikel in Afka. It's still called a Sofik. To put it in Yeshiva Shalingo, Rov is not the Vara with the emesis. It's still blunt to Sofik. Was a Sofik, will always be a Sofik. It's a Din Hanhagah. The Torah gives you a right to be Naik. Follow this road, but be disfakel enough. Because they state Marshall Loshen right out of Shei Shvaitza, 700 years before Shei Shvaitza was born. Be disfakel enough. Because they state in Shit Mekabas of Shem Tezer Rosh. Be disfakel enough. So, comes in Vavram and offers a fascinating pshat in that Shit Mekabas. Comes in Vavram and says that statement of the Shit Mekabas is not always true. Israel is from Safik Mamzef. It's not always true. What that statement means is that whatever the Torah formulates, a mitzvah svira, svira has to be bevados. Can you imagine a guy's counting? I'm counting my money. Maybe I have $2, maybe I have $3, maybe I have 50 cents. Counting by definition means, you know what you're counting. If you don't know what number you're up to, that can't be called a sphere. So the Dvar Avram or Pshad in that Chim Gebetzes, it's a din prati in sphere that can did him. It's not a din called Terakul, it's a din in sphere. Unlike the Sheshweitzer, the Keveger, all the Gdon Achmar, who thought the Shem Kibetz was saying something radical and called Tarakula, the Avram says he wasn't saying anything, he was just saying, in Yanni sphere, it's got to be Viteris Vad, not Viteris Sofer. And based on that, the Dvar Avram says, if a guy's lost in the desert, he doesn't know which their sphere it is. So we can't say today, maybe 7, maybe it's 8, maybe it's 15, maybe it's 16. You can't do that. That's not a sphere, it's not Taifas Bechlal. So even if a guy has no idea what day it is, or count all 49 days, Misafik. So, it's a long, long mirev. So, I don't know whether we'll say the harachamans after each one, at the end of everything, whatever it is. So, says the memory won't be here, say. Even if you mention every single day, it still won't be here, say. Why? If you don't know what day it is, that's a dishkin sphere. So then the Bavram says, Acharei kosvi hazeh, after I wrote this, I remembered the Balamor himself. And I'm against the Rishon, against the Balamor. Because the Balamor asked the Kasha, let's count Sveka Dihema, and the Balamor only explained we don't because of some quirk. But if not for the quirk, we would have. Abizman and Mikdash, they did. How can he count the Svir Misafik? It's not a Svir? Vandiv Misafik? Zelf and Dod, that I'm wrong. But there is no such claim. Even a Svir Misafik is good. So a lot of people quote the Dvar Avram and say, oh, the Dvar Avram holds that Svir Misafik is no good. They forgot to quote the next paragraph where he says that, yeah, but he backed out because he was against the Balamor. Anyway, that was just, I saw this Balamor, it's a week before Shavuot. You have to be, and it had to do with Sukh Tashmir Terrace, one of my favorite topics. You got to just give me on that one. Okay, Rabbi Say, back to Asuk, okay, back to Shia. What do we have to do? Starting Shia today. Okay. So Rabbi Say, we left off with the Kasha of why we find some mitzvahs get Shechiyano, other mitzvahs don't get Shechiyano. We saw two basic approaches to this topic. One was the approach of the Balei Taisis, the Balamor. It all depends on mitzvah sheish put simcha. Then you have to tweak a little bit and fine tune where simcha, no simcha. Pidgin Rebbeim is a whole story, and some mitzvahs are obvious, some mitzvahs are less obvious. But the basic mahalach was a simcha oriented approach. Then you had the Rambam had legamri different approach. The Rambam says, don't do it simcha. It can be the most saddest, most depressing mitzvahs in the world. If it's a bomb, it's a bomb, it's a bomb. That's the way it is. And we saw the Pidgin Rebbeim was actually one of those mitzvahs that tipped the scales in a direction, because everyone's got to explain Pidgin Rebbeim. That's a Gemara. You can't get more fairish. That's the last Gemara on the Kuchafaldi. When you turn the last page right for the Hadrans, the last four lines on top. So you have the lines about Hilchasa Pidgin, make Shechiyon and Pidgin Rebbeim. So the Balei Taisis have to explain, in a sense like the Balamor, that there's a Simcha Shemai, which is very, very shaky, because we said yesterday that Simcha Shemai really only makes sense if you go down Rashi's route and understand the Shloshim Yoyim. According to Taisis, it doesn't seem to be relevant. And according to the Rambam, you have to explain the way of being Mizman Lizman, which is not really. It's an Eshchicha, which is like Mizman Lizman. So it's interesting that neither of the Rishon, neither Taisis or the Rambam is glatt in explaining the Pidgin Rebbeim story. Everyone's got to agree there's the Shechiyon of Pidgin Rebbeim. And neither of the two models explained it perfectly. You have to push it in a little bit. Why this is also called the Shtichel B'Mazman, this is also called the Shtichel Simcha. Neither one is 100% clear on its own. But what do you do? The Gemara says it there. You say it, so no matter what your model is, it's got to fit into the Gemara. There's a taste of the Maseches Becheiros that quotes a Suffolk, a very, very tragic Shailim. I don't sure if you know from the Shailim. But Tosfos calls the following suffix. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Becheiros, we mentioned this yesterday, that Rechmel Atzlan, a baby dies after 30 days. It means it already lived to the point of the 31st day, whatever. Like you said, how do you define 31st day? Because the later post came, but 29 and a half days or the 31st halachic day, whatever, Ace of the Ace, whatever you think the definition of 31 days is, the Maisa of Pimen Cheshtifta, it already passed over a month of existence since the baby was born. So it's definitely chayv and Pidgin Rebbeim. And Nebuch, no one got around to Pidgin Rebbeim, and 2 days later the baby dies. So the Mishnah says, before you have to Pidgin Rebbeim. Not even a shah, not even a suffix. If you have to Pidgin Rebbeim. You have to Pidgin Rebbeim. Very, very sad mitzvah. When you do that Pidgin Rebbeim, do you make a bracha? Shek Yishan Mitzvah says, not Pidgin Rebbeim. Yeah, what you do? It's sad, but you make a bracha anyway. It's still a mitzvah. In certain sense, it's no less a mitzvah than on a line baby. It's sad, tragic. You're obviously not making a big party out of it, but Levi, you have to do the mitzvah, so you make a bracha. Tosis has a suffix, would you make shechiyonu on such a pijamah? Would it make sense to say shechiyonu on such a pijamah? That's not true. That's not true. Would you say shechiyonu or not? What's the shechiyonu? So the charit should be related to some extent what we're talking about. According to the Balamor, the engine that's driving the shechiyonu was the simcha shabai. It would be very hard to justify saying shechiyonu when it's a tragic circumstance. The baby's never not alive. So it's hard to believe that's a mitzvah sheyesh for simcha. I mean, it's a mitzvah sheyesh for simcha, but it's not too simcha for you. So I mean, a person would have a lot of difficulty justifying shechiyonu under those circumstances. What about according to the Rambam? According to the Rambam, could we justify saying shechiyonu even though the baby's not alive? So l'chora, according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter what your mood is. It's a davar b'mis ma'anas month. B'mis ma'anas month. So say shechiyonu, it's finished. Unless one wants to argue, and remember we spoke about this a little bit at the end of the shiur yesterday, that the Rambam himself held that you make a shechiyonu by a bris. But there were some rishonim who said that you don't. There were some rishonim who said the Rambam is fundamentally right, that you should make a shechiyonu or a bris, it should be the same as pidyon ben, but you can't. Why? Because tzara d'yanuka. Now, the Gemara only says in Ksubas, in the first parak, the notion of tzara d'yanuka as a reason not to say shesimcha b'ono. The Gemara never says that as a reason not to say shechiyonu. One can argue shesimcha b'ono is your mama saying the word shesimcha, it's a gavalik simcha. The baby's screaming and yelling its head off, and it's insensitivity, you're saying shesimcha b'ono. So that was the Nekudas HaMachleks in the Rambam and other Rishonim. So the Rambam says that, so what the baby's screaming? So we won't say shesimcha b'ono, you can still say shechiyonu. What's the problem? And other Rishonim, Ben Simcha, others, it goes, man, other Rishonim, the Ashkenazi custom was, no. That you can't say even a shechiyonu when the baby's crying. It's not right. So the Chari, that'll be the Nekudas HaMachleks here also. Should you say a shechiyonu within the world of the Rambam, the baby's never no longer alive? So according to the Rambam himself, who seemed to hold that tsar, whether it's the tsar of the baby, or tsar of the parents, or tsar of the whole olam, or tsar of everybody, that's not a reason not to say shechiyonu. That's a reason not to say shasimcha b'mayna, but that's not a maneya, that's not an equal to saying shechiyonu. Shechiyonu, you say shechiyonu. Say it, you still say shechiyonu. Whereas those Rishonim who said, you can't even say shechiyonu when there's tsar of the yanuka. So the parents are gefelach, tragic, the baby died. You're going to get say shechiyonu. So l'chora, we have two different stodim to prevent saying shechiyonu on such a pigeon event. According to Tyson's beer, it's not even in the radio screen to say shechiyonu because it's mamash mitzvah shem b'simcha chshav. Even according to the Rambam, that you don't need the simcha shiva, you just need the zman nizman, and pidyon ben is normally a zman nizman. The question is there this external echo of tzar present? Is that somehow a shter? You can't say shechiyonu when people are screaming. So if the baby is screaming, you can't say shechiyonu. The parents are screaming, you can't say shechiyonu. So I don't know, interesting. Nekuda. Okay, Taisus doesn't explain the whole thing. Taisus just says, we're not sure what to do. It's Sarachian, whether you say Shechiyonu on a Pinjabed in such tragic circumstances. Let's get a little bit back to happier, cheerier thoughts today. So, Rabbi say, this whole Machlekes of Rishayin about what are the guidelines, what's the ancient drama Shechiyonu, now plays out in terms of, believe it or not, Maseches Pesachim. In terms of, it's hard to believe, but we're still talking about B'dikas Chametz. So it's what she goes. So the Rishonim observe the following, that there's no mention in Chazal of B'shas, B'tikas Chometz, of Rishani Shechiyonu. We don't find it. Now, that in and of itself is not an ironclad proof to anything. Remember, Taisa said, we don't find a Chazal doesn't exist. That's what Taisa said, Mila, there's no Shechiyonu. Because it's not on the list. And what did the Rambam say? It's not on the list because any Talmudic and I can figure it out on their own, right? So that's always a question in the Rishonim, you know, from the lack is a proof from omission. So you learn Pesachim of Zion. The Gemara Shua talks about Al B'Yachometz. I think the Gemara has what to say about Al B'Yachometz, Levi Yachometz. I think it's a whole sugya. It's going to take us halfway, you know, another week or so to get through this. But nowhere does the Gemara mention the idea of making a Shechiyonu. So what do you do with that piece of information? So the Gemara Maimon quotes from Rav Shmuel ben Chofni Goin. Who was he? We went through this last time. Who's Rav Shmuel ben Chofni Goin? Did we talk about this? No, we talked about it. He was who's whose father-in-law was Meshmuel ben Chofni Goyen? Nobody talked about it here.
The Bama room?
No. Name that Goyen, no. Rav Chaim Goyen. Rav Chaim Goyen, right? Didn't we really mention this? He was Mechutin Rav Shmuel Goyen? No. I think so. I think I'm pretty sure we mentioned this at one time. Okay, maybe not. Maybe it was a different shir. So Rav Shmuel ben Chofni Goyen was a Mechutan with Rav Shmuel Goyen. Rav Shmuel Goyen was the father of Hagon. Rav Shmuel Goyen lived very, very long. He lived 100 years old. In the olden days, lived 100 years old. A little pleasure. So he lived to the age of 100, Rav Shmuel Goyen. And his son, Hagon, so at the end of his life, he was kind of, you know, unofficially running the yeshiva, like happens to Bizman Hazen. Like, you know, the son takes over at the, you know, towards the end of the father's tekufa. But he wasn't officially appointed Rosh Hashiva until his father passed away, until Rosh Hashiva died. So Rosh Hashiva died at the age of 100. Rosh Hashiva was 70 years old. So he took over to be Rosh Hashiva at the age of 70. So his shver was Rosh Shmuel ben Chofni Goyen from the other shiva. You got the title Goyen if you're the Rashi of any of either Surah or Pumbadisa. There are multiple Goyen floating around with different titles. So I think Rav Haigo was in Surah, no? No, I don't remember. Whatever it was. I checked the Gedolim who's who back in Babylonia in the 900s. Anyway, so Rav Shmuel ben Chofni Goyen is quoted by the Rishayim saying, of course you make Shechiyot B'Shas B'Dikas Chometz. Like, why not? like well, what's the Shailah? Well, why should it be any different than any other mitzvah you do once a year? There's Chanukah, Kriyas, and Megillah, Sukkah, Lulav, Shekhar. Of course you make a Shekhyana. And if it's all the other Rishon say, you know, so we don't have any Mokr and Chazal to say it. So why not? What's the Svar not to say it? So the Ritva quotes in the name of his Rabbi, the Ra'ah, that is hundreds of years after Rosh Hashanah. The Ritva quotes in the name of the Ra'ah that you don't say it because it's costing you money, Bia Chametz. You're destroying your bread. You're not too happy about that. You pour your schlaps down the drain. You're not very happy about what you're doing. You'd much rather have your pizza for the next week, but what are you doing? The Rosh Hashanah said, you got to get rid of it. So, even my mind, Patashkas, what are you going to do? So you're not too happy about it, therefore there's no Shechiyah. No, but it's different. Here your mama's destroying something. Well, mitzvahs, I spent a lot of money on matzah, but at least I get to enjoy the matzah. I spend a lot of money on my sukkah, but I'm enjoying the beautiful sukkah together here. I'm taking my bread and throwing it into the fire. So the quoted by the Ritva says, you don't make a shechiyon on that. So that smacks of who? That's like Balamor. That's like Tosfos talking. That's like the Rishonim highlighting simple versus not simple. So B'dikas Chometz is not a very joyful mitzvah. It's an Ibn Mamayna, and therefore there's no shechiyon. Those Rishonim who don't focus on Ibn Mamayna, those Rishonim like the Rambam, who say that Shechiyah doesn't do Ibn Mamayna or Simcha, it has to do with Zman Lezman. So hey, wait a second. B'dikas Chometz is above Zman Lezman. Whether you're happy or not happy, it doesn't matter. So why isn't there Shechiyah? But Rav Helik, Rav Shmuel ben Chofni Goyen, the Rambam would have told us that somewhere. The Rambam writes that if you read his Sefer, you know everything you have to do. You don't have to look at any other Sefer. So if it doesn't appear in the Rambam, it doesn't exist. So that, according to the Rambam, there's no Shechiyah, why not? So maybe the Rambam holds like the Rosh says. The Rosh says there really is a Shechiyah of B'dikas Chometz. You know when is it? When is Shechiyah of B'dikas Chometz? When you make Kiddush. So Kiddush goes in all the bits of Sayyid. It's like Mashal Vada V'dayma. Look at it. It's going to lead into the next part of the Sayyid, hopefully. You did it the Gemara. You really make a Shechiyah when you build your Sukkah. So nobody does that today. We make Shechiyah on Yom Tov. We make Shechiyah on Yom Tov. The Gemara says the Rav Kahana used to do it that way. Me'ikra din, you can make Shechiyah b'shas asiyas sukkah. And if you want, you can hold off till Kiddush. And Kiddush potters it as well. So the Rosh writes that when you make Shechiyah on Kiddush, so that's exempting the whole Tashbisa, the whole B'dikas Chometz, the whole nine yards. It's all going and everything. But according to that, if you'd want to make Shechiyah B'Shas B'Dikas Chometz, you would be allowed to. It's just that you don't have to. The same way you don't have to by Sukkah. It's kind of funny. We would have expected the Rambam to say that. The Rambam doesn't make mention of that. The Rambam doesn't say a word about it. Doesn't talk about it. So it's a little bit of an enigma. According to the Rambam, what happened to the Shechiyah exactly by B'Dikas Chometz? We're not quite sure. So we know, according to Shmuel ben Chofni Goyen, it's there in full force. It's in his Agav. It's in his Siddur. According to the Ra'ah, it's not yet because it's a lack of Simcha, but that only makes sense b'das atayz in the Balamor. And the other option is like the Rosh said, because it really is there, it's just covered by the Yom Tov Shechiyah. So hopefully, Beit Hashem tomorrow, we'll have Shir again tomorrow. We'll have tomorrow, 11 o'clock, same time. Tomorrow's Tuesday, so for sure. No, but it's a Batla Tam, a Batla Gzer, because the whole Tuesday is because of English. So we still have to. Anyway. Hopefully, tomorrow, Beit Hashem will try to put some of the final touches on the Sheikh Yanu Sagi. Okay? So, whatever's final. When is the first day of finals? When does the guys want Shir then?